to Trail 2, Tavistock and the Dukes of Bedford. This walk explores how the 6th and 7th Dukes of Bedford transformed Tavistock in the 19th century through an ambitious programme of civic architecture and urban planning. It was financed by income from forestry, agricultural rents, and increasingly by profits from metal mining, which expanded rapidly during the Industrial Revolution. The most important mine was Devon Great Consols in the Tamar Valley, which opened in 1844 and became the world's largest producer of copper and arsenic. In 2006, the global significance of West Devon's mining industries and the Duke's architectural legacy were recognised when Tavistock and the Tamar Valley were included in the UNESCO Cornwall and West Devon Mining Landscape World Heritage Site. The walk starts by the church tower in West Street and facing the junction with Market Street. Pause the audio here until you reach the next stop.
Stop number one, Historic Market Centre. This area was Tavistock's commercial heart from the Middle Ages until the Pannier Market opened in 1864. In Market Street, there are late 16th and 17th century timber-framed buildings, notably Taylor's Restaurant, which jetties over the street, and Bookstop, which has been described as the finest townhouse of the period in Devon. The Corn Market, on the other side of the street and now occupied by the shop Fat Face, opened in 1836 and reflected the town's importance as an agricultural centre. It was designed by Charles Fowler, who the 6th Duke also commissioned to build Covent Garden. If you want to discover more about this part of Tavistock and its commercial history since the Middle Ages, walk up Market Street to find the information board on the wall at the far side of Taylor's Restaurant. Enter Church Lane, walk past the church tower, and then follow the path across the churchyard from where you can see the Bedford Hotel and Plymouth Road. Pause the audio here until you reach the next stop.
Stop number two, the Bedford Hotel and Plymouth Road. The Bedford Hotel was converted from a private residence into the town's premier coaching inn by the 6th Duke. Between 1822 and 1830, the original house, which is the wing to the left of the entrance, was extended to include the porch, bedrooms, and a ballroom. Visitors arrived along the recently completed Plymouth Road, which provided a grand entrance into the town. The hotel and the fashionable middle-class houses flanking the road were designed by some of the country's leading architects, including Sir Geoffrey Wyatt, later Wyattville, and Edward Blore, both of whom also worked on Windsor Castle. Turn left out of the churchyard, cross Plymouth Road using the zebra crossing, and turn left. Follow the pavement round to the right as you reach the roundabout. Pause the audio here until you reach the next stop.
Stop number three, Bedford Estate Office. From this unassuming building, the Duke's stewards wielded power and authority on their behalf. The Duke's main residence was at Woburn Abbey in Bedfordshire. On occasional visits to Tavistock, they stayed at their hunting lodge at Ensley on the River Tamar and lavishly entertained guests, including Queen Victoria.
Your Highness. Yes.
The stewards managed most day-to-day business in Tavistock and the countryside estate, which covered some 18 square miles between the Tavy and Tamar valleys. This included collecting residential and commercial rents, negotiating mine leases, supervising improvements to agricultural buildings and farming methods, managing building projects, and safeguarding the Duke's political interests. Continue to the post office, cross the road at the traffic lights, and walk past the public toilets and war memorial to enter Guildhall Square. Pause the audio here until you reach the next stop.
Stop number 4. Guildhall Square. On the site of the former monastery's great courtyard, the Dukes blended Victorian Gothic public buildings with the medieval architecture of the abbey, intentionally displaying their status, wealth, and paternalistic generosity to the town's inhabitants. The 6th Duke employed Plymouth architect John Foulston between 1824 and 1831 to restore the abbey ruins and build the subscription library. In 1848, the 7th Duke's architect, Theophilus Jones, designed the Guildhall complex, which included a courtroom, police cells, and fire station. Now a World Heritage Site Visitors Centre, the Guildhall was used as a court until the year 2000 and was occupied by the police until 2012. Walk back past the public toilets and the war memorial and turn left. After crossing Market Road and the bridge over the River Tavy, turn left and walk along Dolvin Road. Pause the audio here until you reach the next stop.
Stop number 5, Dolvin Road. The 18 terraced workers' cottages were built by the Bedford Estate between 1845 and 1848. Plans for 6 more were abandoned as the locally produced bricks, which were expensive because West Devon had little suitable clay, were needed to line the town's new sewers. The school was opened by the National Society in 1847 to provide elementary education for working-class children in accordance with the Church of England doctrines. The Bedfords, who were staunch Whigs and liberals, promoted religious freedom by also sponsoring a school for nonconformist children and funding church and chapel building in Tavistock and neighbouring villages. For a shorter version of this walk, turn left at the mini roundabout, cross the bridge and continue to the main street. Opposite the Co-op, turn left and continue to stop 9. Beware of traffic in both directions on the bridge where there is no pavement. For the longer walk, cross the junction at the mini roundabout and continue straight ahead along Mount Tavy Road, which includes more Bedford cottages, and Stannery Bridge Road, which crosses the river. This short section follows a busy main road, so keep on the pavement, which is narrow in places. Turn left and walk along Parkwood Road. Pause the audio here until you reach the next stop.
Stop number 6, Parkwood Road Cottages. These cottages were built to a cheaper, standardised design with rubble stone and granite, which the Bedford Estate used instead of brick after 1846. Each had a backyard with outbuildings, including a privy and a pigsty. Between 1845 and 1866, some 300 cottages were built, which accommodated nearly 1 in 5 people in Tavistock Parish. They were superior to the town centre houses, which became increasingly crowded and unsanitary as the local population trebled during the mining boom. However, the housing crisis was only resolved when mining declined from the 1860s, and many people emigrated to work in the mines overseas. Continue along Parkwood Road to the junction with Heritage Park, on your right. Pause the audio here until you reach the next stop.
Stop number 7, Tavistock Ironworks. 19th century Tavistock had 3 foundries, which exported mining equipment across the world. The first, Tavistock Ironworks, was established in 1800 by shareholders including the 6th Duke Steward. It produced ore crushers, beam engines, water wheels, and the world's first wrought iron boat. Continue along Parkwood Road, past the terraced houses. At the entrance to Foundry Mews, stop and look right. The foundry closed in 1891. And reopened a few years later as a wool factory, which operated until 1965. The red brick house with bell tower was the wool factory office. The mansion on the hill behind it, now an apartment building, was built for foundry owner John Gill. Continue along Parkwood Road to the town mill. Pause the audio here until you reach the next stop.
Stop number 8, the town mill. The town corn mill, now Lawson's shop, was built in 1846 with a miller's house, which was on the site of the adjacent car park. It replaced the old mill, which was rebuilt as part of the Guildhall development. Brook Street ahead of you is named after the Mill Brook, a mile-long medieval leat which had supplied water power to the town's corn mill and other mills. Parkwood Road was built in 1817 to provide level access to the town centre from the Turnpike Road to Okehampton, which had previously taken a steep route along the side of the Tavy Valley. Go straight ahead, up Brook Street and Duke Street, until you reach an arch on your left, which goes into the Pannier Market at stop 9. Pause the audio here until you reach the next stop.
Stop number 9, the Pannier Market and Duke Street. The 7th Duke's new market was the Bedford's most ambitious building project. Streets were demolished, and part of the River Tavy filled in to make space for Market Road, the Pannier Market, Butcher's Hall, and double-fronted shops opening onto a new Duke Street. The new facilities replaced the existing butter, meat, poultry, and vegetable markets near the church. They were also intended to stop unauthorised street stalls which, according to the 1859 Tavistock Markets Act, operated to the great inconvenience and danger of the inhabitants.
Tavistock Pannier Market open.
The market opened in 1862 with a supper for the 160 people employed during its construction. If the Pannier Market gates are unlocked, go through one of the archways that lead to the Pannier Market. Turn right, walk the length of the market, and go through the archway in front of you, which leads under the town hall to Bedford Square. If the Pannier Market gates are locked, continue to the end of Duke Street and take the first left into Bedford Square. Pause the audio here until you reach the next stop.
Stop number 10, Town Hall. The Town Hall was added to the Pannier Market plans after a public campaign for what the Tavistock Gazette called a spacious and decent room for the social gatherings of the people. It was designed by the 7th Duke's architect, Edward Rundle, and financed by a fine on the shareholders when the mining lease for the Devon Great Consols was renewed. The New Hall, as it was known, was used in 1863 to celebrate the Prince of Wales's wedding. It opened officially the following year with 3 days of celebrations, including an exhibition of rare and valuable works of science and art. Walk across the front of the town hall to the Duke of Bedford statue. Pause the audio here until you reach the next stop.
Stop number 11, the Duke of Bedford statue. Francis Russell, 7th Duke of Bedford, died in 1861 before the Pannier Market and Town Hall were completed. His statue was made after his death in bronze using tin and copper from local mines, donated by his son and placed on a granite pedestal paid for by public subscription. It originally stood outside the Guildhall and was moved to its current position in 2020. Metal mining, which funded much of the 7th Duke's building programme, declined rapidly after the mid-1860s, when global copper prices collapsed, ore deposits became exhausted, and cheap foreign competition increased. Late 19th century Tavistock was a post-industrial rural market town to which later dukes made few major changes. In 1911, after Lloyd George's Liberal budget raised taxes on the rich to pay for social reforms and expand the navy, the 11th Duke of Bedford effectively ended his family's long association with Tavistock when he sold most of his properties in the town.